At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the celebratory voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are we?
Not too shabby, my friend. You?
Well, celebratory. I don't know if that is quite the right word. It was my birthday. But then at what age do you stop celebrating birthdays?
I don't think you ever stop celebrating birthdays, mate. But yes, 39, right? 39 years young. Bit of Botox for you this year, no doubt.
Oh, mate, we've already gone past that stage. Don't worry about that. That was several years ago. I don't know what the next step is, though. What is the next bit of surgery that one can have?
Well, once you start having injections in your head, which I think we spoke about on a podcast previously, I'm not sure you can go much further. No.
I think there's no way back when you get to that point. I'm very aware of that.
A bicep implant, mate, because you're missing one, aren't you? So there you go. A bicep implant.
Missing one. If anyone out there, in fact, this might be the point we ask for donations. If anyone out there wants to help a one bicep man, then I am here. I am willing to accept donations.
Sound like a superhero, the one bicep man. We've got plenty coming up over the course of the next half an hour or so. It's been International Week yet again, hasn't it? So we're going to discuss most of the important goalkeeping action that has occurred over the course of the past, I don't know, 10 days or so, including the Nations League semi-finals and finals. They were very exciting. All the World Cup qualifiers, a couple of friendlies too. And I went to watch a bit of FA Trophy at the weekend, Richard.
Did you really? I did not know this. You've kept this quiet.
I went to watch an FA Trophy clash at Chesham.
Well, there you go. I will be thrilled to hear about what was no doubt a classic encounter.
Do you know what? I'll quickly mention the goalkeepers because I think we should do that. Every time we go and watch one of these lower league, non-league games, we should flag the goalkeepers. So it was Aylesbury United v Chipstead. Aylesbury played their home games at Chesham. And the goalkeepers were Archie Davis for Aylesbury and Matt Kirby for Chipstead. Thoroughly exciting game. Two very good saves from Archie Davis in the second half. A one-on-one and a soft tip over the bar. And Matt Kirby of Chipstead saved a penalty in the first half. So kept them in the game. It was one apiece going into extra time, which doesn't happen, of course. They followed suit from the EFL, which I was delighted with. Don't think I could have done another half an hour. Went straight to pens.
And who was victorious?
The first two from either side were scored. The third were both saved from both goalkeepers. And then the fourth was scored by Chipstead. And then Matt Kirby saved the Aylesbury spot kick with his feet and they went on to win. So they are into the FA Trophy third qualifying round.
Well, there you go. And there was me mockingly saying that it was a classic, but I take those words back.
It certainly was. Right. If you'd like to get in touch with us, though, very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union, although we're still not on that. So give us some time there. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net and our phone number 07503 673 020. On with the show.
Let's do it.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, let's start with the Nations League semi-finals and final. So Italy v Spain, Belgium v France, and then eventually France v Spain. All very good games. The Nations League, I think, has actually improved, isn't it? The state of international football outside of major tournaments. There was a bit of debate as to whether it might work, but I really think it has, especially when you look at the celebrations from the players. In the Italy game, Donnarumma, Gigio Donnarumma, a rare fumble in what proved to be a defeat for the European champions. He did make a good save in that game from Mikel Oyarzabal in the second half, but not enough. That was a 37 world record unbeaten run coming to an end, a 37-game unbeaten run, I should say. He received stick from the Italy fans, by the way, Donnarumma. Unbelievable that. From AC Milan fans, not happy with the fact he'd moved on to PSG. Can't do much right, can you, as a goalkeeper?
Yeah, to be honest, I find that crazy. If there is a time to leave your home country and go into another club, it is when you've just won the European Championship. Like, surely that should give you at least a year's worth of avoiding all type of criticism that you could possibly get from your home nation, surely.
You'd think so. And what he said after the game was actually really good as well. He did say, I've just got one message for AC Milan fans. I love you guys. I love my time there. I love you guys. I really hope next time I get a better reception. I really hope I do. That's brilliant. Just played it nice and calm.
I like that. Well played. Very nice.
It is, though, the comeback and win for France over Belgium we shall discuss in greater detail. The final as well, Hugo Lloris, very, very decent. Twice in the semi-finals, denying Kevin De Bruyne. The first inside the opening 5 minutes with quite a remarkable stop. A couple of fantastic saves in this one.
Yeah, do you know what? Well, we thought he was very, very decent. There was someone out there that didn't. Mr. Don Hutchinson, in fact, was quite scathing of Hugo Lloris, which I find bizarre. And do you know what? We're going to have another Don Hutchinson reference later in the podcast, Matthew.
Hold up. You're kidding me.
I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to plant a seed. We're going to be talking about a save later, and there is a Don Hutchinson reference in there. So I'm just going to leave that with you, and whether anything springs to mind, you've seen the saves that we're about to talk about, but what are the chances? We've never, ever mentioned Don Hutchinson in a podcast ever before, and we are going to mention him twice. But the first time we're mentioning him isn't particularly positive reasons because, yeah, he was very scathing with Hugo Lloris, and in my opinion, incorrectly on both occasions. But he was, in particular, the one that beat Hugo Lloris up to his left-hand side. He really wasn't happy with it.
He absolutely was not. By the way, I've got a feeling I know what you're going to reference, but we'll get onto that.
Do you know what? Let me go on. I'm going to ask you, because I thought if anybody's going to know this, I think you're going to know it. So go on. Let's see. Start of the podcast. This will really test whether we are on the same wavelength. What do you think the Don Hutchinson reference will be?
Well, you're talking about a particular save that was made once upon a time which involved Don Hutchinson.
Quite possibly.
Okay, well, do you know what? I think we might have mentioned it before on the pod at some point, because if it is the one I'm thinking of, the one that involved Peter Schmeichel at Anfield, 92-93.
Yeah, have we spoken about that one before?
We have, just because you thought Peter Schmeichel was wearing the blue away kit, and I said no, he was wearing the green away kit with the blue shorts and blue socks.
I mean, this is a fascinating start to this pod already.
But yes, that save from Schmeichel down to his left, is that the one you were?
That is the one. And actually, there is a save we're going to talk about later on, which I think is the spitting image of that save.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. I see the link. Nice. Okay. We'll come to that as and when, shall we?
We will. We will. But yes, in terms of his scathing comments of Hugo Lloris, certainly the one that beat Hugo Lloris up high. This is a bit that frustrates me when we talk about the near post or when the near post gets spoken about. Because the truth is here, the player was so close in, Lukaku was so close to Hugo Lloris that it's irrelevant where he beats him. The fact is that had this been central and it was a shot from 6 yards, consider this, that you got your goalkeeper stood on your line, a yard off your line, you're central, 6 yards out, and they just fire it into the roof of the net. No one says anything. But all of a sudden, because he's on an angle, there is this expectation that you shouldn't be beaten because it is your near post and effectively a smaller goal. But use that as an example. If this was central and exactly the same thing happens, he still doesn't save it, but Don Hutchinson doesn't give him any criticism whatsoever. So I just thought it was a really interesting moment to see that Don Hutchinson straight away went to the old school kind of thinking, near post, you can't get beaten on your near post. But actually, if someone's 6 yards out and they fire it quite hard above you into the roof of the net, it's going to beat you regardless where you are in the goal.
Shall I just read these out just in case anybody hasn't actually read them on Twitter? So he was on Twitter, and occasionally when a random member of the public responds to an ex-pro on Twitter, they sometimes bite, don't they? And then that random person on Twitter just gets a little bit of back and forth with an ex-professional footballer. And that has happened here with Pat Mulhern, who has responded to Don Hutchinson's initial tweet, which quite ridiculously said, imagine if France were playing with a goalkeeper tonight, coupled with an emoji of the hand over the face. So Pat Mulhern has said the first one was deflected, the second one was an unbelievable finish. Hutchinson has replied, look at the first one again. The small deflection did not deviate the ball that much. Lloris gambled, he was going far post and could not sort his feet. Hashtag huge error. And then Johnny Blaine, has jumped into the argument, and he said he sees both defenders in the way and I'd assume thinks they've got that blocked if he shoots near post, which they should have done, and he gets wrong-footed. Don Hutchinson, you honestly think this is not a GK error, mate? You cannot get beaten from there. He jumps back in again. You can't assume slash guess as a keeper, and then responds to his own tweet again and says, you cannot get done there, mate. 3! Bottom left, maybe, but not there. Hashtag near post. And the tweet is where Lukaku is just about to strike with Lloris in goal and a bit of a squiggly back line into where Lukaku shoots.
I think the bit I enjoy most about this is the hashtag, because I'm right in thinking that the hashtag was invented in order to look up something. You know, you wanted to look up something that might be of interest to you. You could go on the hashtag, look up whatever it might be, and you will get lots of people that have then spoken about that thing. I'm just thinking of the person at home that is thinking, do you know what I'd love to see today? A huge error. Let me have a look. Hashtag huge error. Oh, wow. Hugo Lloris has come up. What a huge error that is. But it's just, look, I'm just not having it. The first one, do you know what? The first one, you could argue his weight is ever so slightly on the left. The camera angle, it isn't easy to see how much of a deflection, etc. So I don't think you can comment too much. But certainly the one that beats him above him, absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. And I go back to my initial point, which is effectively, he's only said it because it's on an angle. If that's center of the goal and he gets beaten in the identical way above him into the roof of the net, nothing said. But I think it's important that we do focus on the positives, because exactly like you said at the very start of this, he had a very decent game. You know, I've got my notes in front of me and I've got about 7 or 8 notes, because there was, you know, some brilliant saves in the game, in particular the one back on himself. This one for me I enjoyed because he's been forced to dive backwards, which obviously as a goalkeeper you don't necessarily want to do, but sometimes you're forced to do. He great reactions in order to get there, and then the cliche strong hand, which is exactly what he needed in that moment, was enough strength in the wrist in order to get it round the post. I thought that was excellent. And the other one I was going to talk about, I mean, many to talk about, but the other one, just because I thought it was a thing of beauty, was the save with the top hand, where it's driven, it's going in just under the crossbar, he's gone to his left, top hand, he's horizontal in the air, but it just zips off his hand. It's that nice one where you get a full palm to it to deflect it up over the bar, and I just thought it was an excellent save, great power, and for me, a very good performance.
Very, very good performance. And like we said, helped them win the final as well against Spain. A big save in the end of that one too. He's 34 years old now, and I still fear that even though he's won the World Cup and even though he's been a hugely consistent goalkeeper for his entire career, and he made those saves in that semi-final in particular, you look at it and you think, he's such a good goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris. But you've mentioned it a number of times now with that over-familiarity of a goalkeeper. And because it's almost expected now, I still believe that Hugo Lloris won't be regarded in as high esteem until he's finished playing. It's only when people look back at his career and they'll go, oh yeah, wow, he was such a top keeper.
Yeah, I fully agree. I know we have spoke about it in detail. And I do think that is the case. It's not just him. I mean, there's so many examples. I think it's just a normal human psychology to an extent that he has just become normal over here, which is a shame in a way, because you're almost best sometimes, I think, going and spending a couple of years in each country or each club, because you kind of have that initial honeymoon period. Everybody loves you. Then move on to the next, move on to the next, move on to the next. And you're remembered positively everywhere you go. It's often the keepers or the players that stay for that long that maybe don't get the appreciation that they should. But no, I fully agree with you. I think we've certainly got to argue that he's got to be in the category now when it comes to goalkeepers in particular of Premier League legends.
A few special mentions before we move on. Gavin Batsunu, 2 top saves in Ireland's 3-0 win over Azerbaijan. And Justin Bailo, the Holland goalkeeper, who we've not mentioned on the pod before, saving from Latvia's Igor Terasov. That was an injury time to see the Dutchman win 1-0. They are top of their group.
Just to mention Batsunu in particular, I'd say a couple of good saves, a good tip over. The second one in particular I thought was very good, given that he was unsighted. Now, what he did well was he saw the ball was going to his right, decided to go, and there was actually movement on the ball back towards him, which meant he had to manufacture the save almost. So it didn't look orthodox at all, but I thought he did very well in order to manipulate his body in such a way to make the save. I thought that was excellent.
And just sticking with Ireland quickly, Caoimhín Kelleher made his first start for the country. They won 4-0 against Qatar yesterday. The Callum Robinson penalty, by the way, I noticed that as he was striking, a slightly different technique where he was almost looking away from the ball as he struck it.
Yes, I did get this clip that you sent through. I thought this was a classic Matt Beadle clip to send me. Something a little bit out of the ordinary. It was effectively like a no-look penalty, wasn't it? The way in which he's like a pretzel back on himself in order to get the ball in the corner. But you can see why the goalkeeper's gone early and gone the other way, because it's very, very well disguised and in the end a very good penalty.
Couple more. Ivan Karatsov of Bulgaria saving from Paddy McNair, and then Connor Washington from the resultant corner as it goes. They ended Northern Ireland's chances of making it to Qatar, so very good from him. And Kasper Schmeichel, with two games to go in qualifying, Denmark are on 8 games with 8 wins and no goals conceded. I don't know whether this has been done before.
Phenomenal record. Look, we all know how hard it is to keep a clean sheet, and albeit one or two of the games I'm sure weren't maybe the most testing games that he's had. But certainly playing against the likes of Austria, certainly not an easy clean sheet that to keep. So massive, massive credit to him. And in regards to Karatsov, is that a good pronunciation? Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, go with that. In terms of Karatsov, no, I actually wanted to mention this one, because what I quite liked about this, cross to the far post, realises he can't come. He takes his eye off the ball, but for the right reason. And you see sometimes that a goalkeeper will track it the whole way, and then by the time it's headed, it almost, the reaction is just too quick and you can't make the save. Whereas I quite like the fact that he took his eyes off the ball, instantly set as to where he thought the ball was going to be headed from, which it was, and then made a brilliant shape in order to make the save. And in the end, obviously very costly for Northern Ireland.
Moving on to Scotland, a couple of games here. They won their first game 3-2 over Israel. But Israel goalkeeper Ofir Marciano doing his best to almost thwart those Scottish dreams. He kept out Lyndon Dykes from the spot in the first half, didn't he? And then there was a shovel-like save to keep out the same man in the second half, and also the save from John McGinn with his feet.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent, and certainly his performance deserved a result. In the end, wasn't to be. Certainly nothing he could do about the McTominay goal. I feel we should give a mention to Craig Gordon. I mean, look, this on paper, with the greatest respect away to Faroe Islands, is ordinarily a given that you get the 3 points, but I know they struggled with the pitch in particular, and if they'd gone 1-0 down in this, that would have been a really tough one to come back from, given the way in which this game was played out. So actually, the save that Craig Gordon makes on about the 25-minute mark, I think it must have been, huge, huge save, brilliant save. The way in which he's moved across the goal, got himself close enough to where the ball was struck, spread, makes a fantastic save with his right hand, and in the end was a match-winning save.
It was very good save, very, very good save. And that Marciano had played for Hibernian, hadn't he? More than 100 games for Hibernian, so he clearly knew what he was coming up against with Dykes. He'd done his homework, so a good bit of goalkeeping there. We'll move on to England now, and I would like to take this opportunity to sound the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please. A resounding win in Andorra for England. Another clean sheet for Sam Johnstone. 3-3 for him, yet to concede a goal for his country. Is he, however, the first England goalkeeper to have more assists than goals conceded? A lovely throw out for Jack Grealish right at the death.
There you go. You love to try and create a random fact. I'm guessing he probably is. But no, this was great. Look, brilliant piece of goalkeeping, bright thinking, got the throw away. The thing that does make me smile, and we all know this as a goalkeeper, that once you've done that bit, it's out of your control. Now, he does that perfectly. You know, he decides to throw, by the way, which is interesting. I think a lot would have gone for a side volley or maybe even a half volley, but he decides to throw, and certainly brilliant arm in order to get it as far as he did. But then, of course, after that point, it's completely out of your control. And we've all been there where effectively you're willing the striker on. Go on, get a goal. This would be an assist if you get a goal. Go on. And then all of a sudden, Jack Grealish does what he does, whips it in the corner. That must have been an incredible feeling for Sam Johnstone. And then to see everybody come over and celebrate with him as well. Just a phenomenal evening's work.
Yeah, really good to see those celebrations. And nice for Grealish as well to give him the credit afterwards. I thought that was a very nice touch. A good save late on in that one too. It was offside, but a really good save. So doing a job at the moment for England, Sam Johnstone. Also an assist, Richard, for Robin Olsen, Sweden beating Greece, and a goal for Alexander Isak. That was because of the Sheffield United stopper. Decent kick.
It was indeed. And once again, goes back to my point from before. You know, he executes the kick perfectly, but of course, there's still quite a bit to do thereafter. And in fairness, the lad does it well, takes it around the keeper, finishes very well. But certainly credit to Olsen for the strike.
After the game, I was reading some quotes from him. He's received a bit of stick from people in his own country for going to Sheffield United. And it's because he was obviously at Everton the season prior. He's been at Roma. And they've turned around and said, hang on a second, you should be playing a much higher level. What on earth are you doing in the Championship? And he came out and just said, listen, these things are what they are. It's not always my decision. There are other parties involved. I have to do what's best for my family. And it is what it is, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think you find that when you have a situation like that, it's often a case of making the most of what you have at that particular moment. Now, first and foremost, we must say that Sheffield United are a huge club. You know, they are effectively a Premier League club and certainly had a good couple of seasons in the Premier League. I know, obviously, back in the Championship now. So first and foremost, he has joined one of the biggest clubs in the world. I think we must make that point. Now, would he want to be playing in the Premier League? Yeah, of course he would. But if there are no slots, we know that as a goalkeeper, there is only one position in order to play. You know, we've seen the likes of Areola. Do you know what? That could have been an example. Well, he could have gone to a West Ham and maybe not got his chance. So actually, what do you choose? Do you go to a West Ham and potentially be a number two? Or do you go to a Sheffield United and play? And now I think that's the sort of question that will be answered differently by different characters. So certainly from a personal perspective, I can see exactly why he's done what he's done. He wants to continue to build his profile here, and I think it's an excellent place to do so.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper keeper.
Wales drawing with Czech Republic and Danny Ward just letting one slip off his boot. He made a good save in the first half in that game and then a potentially qualifying saving stop from Vlasi Sinyaski in the 77th minute of the huge win over Estonia. That was a top hand save. Very good save. Almost an element of redemption, but shouldn't have to redeem himself because he has been very good for Wales in recent times. But it was a pass back from Aaron Ramsey. It did go over his foot and into an empty net. What are your thoughts on this one?
Look, I think the obvious thing to say, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to have said this, and no doubt he'll have thought about this himself as well, is that he has gone to control the ball with the outside of his foot. Now, this is a really basic point, but of course, the surface area is that much bigger on the inside of your foot than it is on the outside of your foot. So I think, in hindsight, maybe that would have been the safer play. But I say this, it's one of those moments that for me, where he's so confident with his feet, so good with his feet, it's not even a consideration. He wouldn't have been thinking, I'm stood directly in front of my own goal and I need to be extra safe with my touch because he's so comfortable on the ball. He'd have just been thinking, control it, look to play. And that's how he controls it, of course, you know, with the outside of his foot, inside of his foot, whatever it takes in that particular moment. So as much as I could give him that basic advice, does he then change next time? Probably not, because the chances are he never makes that mistake again. It was just one of those moments. But you could see instantly, the second it's happened, the frustration in his face. And in fairness to him, you mentioned it, the speed at which he was able to get over it and play the next game in the fashion that he did. And credit to the management for sticking with him, which, of course, I've got no doubt was never in question, given how well he did in the Euros in particular and how well he's done recently. But it does take quite a big character in order to bounce back as quickly as he did. And I was certainly delighted to see him do that.
So I've got a mini observation here, which you might be surprised by. And we, of course, always want to remain balanced on this podcast. And some people might say, what are you talking about here? But I actually think there was something in Aaron Ramsey's back pass that didn't make it the easiest for Danny Ward. I know he should still control it. I know that it is a goalkeeper error. But when I was watching it, I was like, oh, as soon as he passed it, I thought, oh, blimey, he's put a bit on that. And what do we always tell these pesky outfielders, Richard? Pass away from the goal. Don't pass directly to the goalkeeper. Pass it away from the goal. So if there is an error, it's not going to go in. And this time it did go in. Part of me thought, do you know what? It wasn't the best back pass to give him. But yes, he should still have controlled it. And nice to see after the game as well, actually, the Wales fans giving him a big ovation.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's certainly a worthwhile point. I guess if you were to do something along the lines of, right, what percentage error would it be to Ramsey? What would it be to Ward? It would almost be that. It's not 100% Danny Ward's fault. I think that's the point. That being said, look, we're not certainly going to sit here and make excuses for him. No doubt that he did take responsibility, took it on the chin, and as I say, he bounced back very quickly. But certainly if you're an outfield player, then yeah, of course, you want to play the safe pass where possible.
A couple of other keeper capers to wrap up from the international games. Predrag Rajkovic, the Serbian goalkeeper, having a mix-up with his defenders in the win over Azerbaijan. Technically, that one's null and void because they won. And Aro Muric, there's a name for you. Kosovo defeated by Georgia. Muric letting one slip for the opener.
Yeah, the Muric one in particular I wanted to touch on because a frustrating one for him, as you say. A name that, for a period of time, people were talking about glowingly. And of course, a couple of loans that haven't worked out and a frustrating moment from him here. And one that really, he's gone down to his left to collect the ball and it's just popped out. It's as simple as that. And as soon as it does make it an easy finish, but certainly a moment to forget.
And a positive one from Jordan Longmuir of Pollock FC. So they were playing Kirkintilloch Rob Roy in the West of Scotland Premier Division at the weekend. That's Scotland's sixth tier. Jordan launched one up the pitch. Matthew Kerr in the opposite net sadly could only watch as it bounced horrendously over his head. Not the best conditions in this one either.
No, and that's exactly what I wrote down. This reminded me a little bit of the Paul Robinson, Ben Foster one, in that when you're thinking your defenders are going to head it, you may not quite be in the right position because you're expecting it to be cleared. And of course, the moment it doesn't, and the fact that the turf was sodden, of course, zips off the turf. And it's that horrible moment where you realise there's just no chance of getting back and making the save. But it was an excellent half volley, it has to be said.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Just very quickly going over some EFL action that is worth referencing, because we spoke about the Sam Johnston and the Robin Olsen assist. Let's talk about Mike Cooper of Plymouth. They beat Burton at the weekend, and this assist was not too dissimilar. It wasn't a direct assist. It was another throw just like Johnston's, but it was to Ryan Hardy, who then took a couple of touches. He set up Ryan Broom, and Broom scored the winner.
Yeah, very similar. I suppose the frustration from Michael Cooper's point of view here is that had it have just been finished, it would have been that assist. But the moment he passes it, of course, that then changes it. Isn't then officially an assist, but he still gets plenty of love from his teammates, which is good to see. But he's certainly building a very good season for himself and a very good name for himself.
Glenn Morris with another match-winning save for Crawley. Rochdale's Abraham Odo denied very late on. A really good save from Joel Coleman in this one too. In fact, quite a few saves from both goalkeepers in this one. But it's over to Lewis Ward, who was making his debut for Swindon Town at the weekend. Jojo Wallacott on international duty. He was making his debut for Ghana. It was a top-of-the-table clash at Forest Green Rovers. Swindon won 2-0. Ward made multiple saves, including one from the spot. What a game.
I'll be honest, this is the perfect note to finish on, because I've written worldie of all worldies. For me, this is the perfect note to finish on, because this is genuinely the best goalkeeping performance I've seen, not only this season, but I think for many seasons. It was just, I mean, I know he gave away the penalty. That might have been the one blotch on the performance, but the fact he then saves it thereafter, and I want to say there was 8 saves that I saw in particular of note, but a couple of absolute worldies. And this then brings us back to where we started the podcast and the Don Hutchinson reference. And this is exactly the moment I was going to bring that up, because it was so similar to the save that Peter Schmeichel made down low to his left, that famous save from Don Hutchinson. It wasn't a strike down low to his left. I think it was a header from memory, but the speed at which he got down and clawed it out, I just thought was absolutely phenomenal. And several other saves of note as well, but I was just delighted for him that he could finish it off and top it off with the penalty save. And certainly Forest Green, I mean, they've been absolutely flying this season. So to get a result against them, it was always going to need a performance like this. But where I give him even more credit is for the fact that he stepped in for Jojo Wallacott. Of course, Jojo, who's gone away with Ghana and made his debut for Ghana, in fact. But stepping in for a goalkeeper who's got so many plaudits, so much positivity over the last few weeks, it can be difficult sometimes stepping into those shoes. But the way in which he's done it and had a phenomenal game, he certainly reminded people that he's very much around.
Okay, good stuff, Richard. We are pretty much done, but I thought we'd just quickly go over the nominees for the Yashin Trophy. They came out. This will be awarded at the Ballon d'Or ceremony. It's the end of November, and the nominees are Thibaut Courtois, Gianluigi Donnarumma, Edison, Samir Handanovic, Emi Martinez, Edouard Mendy, Keylor Navas, Manuel Neuer, Jan Oblak, and Kasper Schmeichel. The fact that Navas is in there, by the way, and they've replaced him with Donnarumma, is quite ironic. But yes, 10 nominees there. Not a bad list.
Not a bad list at all. Who's your money on?
My money, to be fair, is probably on Donnarumma, because he won the Euros and he's the only goalkeeper on the full Ballon d'Or shortlist. There's 30 players, one of which is a goalkeeper. Sadio Mane, by the way, I do not understand. These are things to deplore. He was furious that Edouard Mendy wasn't in there.
Yeah, he's got a point. But let's be honest, do goalkeepers ever win the Ballon d'Or? This is a subject for another day, I think. We could talk about this for hours.
We could. Yashin, Lev Yashin, the only goalkeeper to win the Ballon d'Or, hence the name of that particular trophy, Richard. Okay, we are done. You've got to get off. Very rushed about today, aren't you, Mr. Busy? Loads going on.
One of those days, but all is well. Always time for a podcast.
We'll be back next Monday. It will be back to normal on Monday next week. So, yes, we'll be back with all the Premier League and EFL action and reaction. Then, Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast between the sticks. Keepers.
Away!
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.